Flower fade, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Amen. Amen. I was thinking of the title. When I was younger, I used to get title first and then find scripture after. But now I get scripture and then wait for a title. Amen. Because scripture has the weight. It is the most important thing. We can have catchy titles and no substance, and all you got is a good poem. Amen. But let's call this the reward of waiting. Amen. Amen. Let's call this the reward of waiting. Amen. In the beginning of the service, the scripture that was read had to do with patience. And we know that a lot of us, we say, Lord, we need more what? Patience. Because we know that things will come our way, situations will change if we have patience and just wait on it, right? We know that. But it's the time frame of waiting that we have trouble with, right? And so when we start to think about waiting and having patience and things like that, we don't have it like we ought to. Now when we talk about being patient, patience is, they always say it's a virtue. It doesn't come easy. And when we talk about, we pray for patience, let me tell you something. You can pray all you want for them. They won't come through by prayer. They come through by persecution, by tribulation. I wish I had somebody. The Bible says that they come through trials. The trying of our faith worketh. That's scripture, right? So the trying of our faith worketh patience. And so if we're going to be patient, you know, that's because we're going to have trials. You find a person that have patience, that's a person that's been through some stuff. Amen. And passed the test as they went through it. I must say that because some of us, we go through the test and we keep failing it. Then we have to go back through it and we still hadn't got it yet. Come on and say amen. I was at the airport one day and we had the flights was all messed up and I'm walking up to the podium trying to get on this flight because I'm trying to talk to the lady and she said or the man, he's waving me off and I'm standing there and then he's dealing with everybody else and I've been standing there for about 30 minutes and I just lean over on the counter and wait and then this lady behind me, she said, "Ooh wee, if that was me." She said, "You got some patience." I was thinking, I have no choice but to wait. And hopefully this rascal can get me on a flight. But anyway, the thing about it is that, you know, when you understand that things are out of your control, you won't throw temper tantrums. Lord have mercy. Because we try to control things. When you try to control stuff, that's when you throw temper tantrums. And you try to show how mad you are and how angry, so people will respond the way you want them to respond. They come to your rescue. They give you what you want. You know, that's what babies do. They throw temper tantrums because they know they can control mama or daddy by acting a fool in the store. Because you just want them to be quiet. Don't shame me in this store. So here, take it. Here. Go get it. You know, that little talk you do when you go in the store with them, that don't work. Don't touch nothing. That don't work. Amen. Y'all, some mothers are honest. But what I'm saying is we have to be patient, and patience is something. The Bible says that we ought to let patience have what? Her perfect work. Her perfect work, so that we won't be lacking, so that we can be perfect and entire and lacking nothing, so we can have whatever it is that we need in our life that serves a purpose. Now, there are some things we have in our life that don't really, you know, we just want it. We can have something else, but we want that thing. And it's really not purposeful sometimes. And so what we got to understand is that God gives us what we really need. Do you think you really need cable TV? I know some of y'all say, not when they got Fire Stick. And, you know, we cry because we can't pay the cable bill. Preach. I said, all right, okay. And so when we look at waiting, there's a reward in waiting. When you can wait, the Bible says that Abraham and Sarah had a promise given to them, And 25 years later, they finally saw the promise. But we can't wait 6 months. We can't wait 5 days, because if the Lord don't do it by then, we're going to go find somebody to try to do it for us. And when they don't do it, we get mad with everybody that didn't help us. And then when God do come through, we still mad with the people that didn't help us. And God said, I'm fixed it to where they couldn't help you so you can look at me. But we still mad at them because God blocked them from being able to help us so that he could get the glory. Because see, some of them people that you borrow from or you get something from, they want to hold that over your head. And God is saying, I don't want you to be a slave to them and keep having to thank them. They keep using. I wish I had some, but you don't know what's best. Y'all still with me? So when we have patience, when we wait on God, the good things come. They always say good things come to what? Those that they do. It comes to those that wait. Now, in this particular chapter, when we start to look at it, this chapter is a chapter I call a chapter of comfort, because that's how it opens up. It talks about comfort. It talks about how he tells the man of God, go and comfort Jerusalem. Go and speak to them. And Jerusalem is the place of worship. Go speak to those where they're assembled to worship me. Those who worship me need to hear this. And so he talks about comfort. And then he goes, this is a messianic passage, because it is in reference of Jesus Christ and his coming. And so he tells them, go speak to them and tell them that, you know, you don't have to warfare no more. In other words, you ain't got to struggle no more. It's over. The struggle is over. He said, your sin was great. He said, but I've forgiven you. I let go of that. And he says that I'm sending somebody, and there's going to be a forerunner before him that's going to speak of his coming. Amen. And so that is believed to make mention of and prophecy of John the Baptist. And so when we look at this particular chapter and this particular text, or the entire context, we should be happy when we read it, because it's promising us something. And the thing about it, that when he promised it to us, we must understand that it is right for us to wait for what he promised. Amen. We don't always think it's right to wait for what he promised. We don't always think it's right, because right now we want it immediately. We want to see change right now. We want to see the situation moved right now. Now, you know, I understand we want it changed. We want it moved. We want to see something different. But think about it. Whatever your situation is, however bad it is, just think about how God is keeping you through it all. Amen. He's keeping you throughout the situation. That's why David, when he wrote the 23rd Psalm, he said, yea, though I walk through. David said, I don't expect not to ever go through something, but I expect that while I go through, his rod and his staff, he's present with me. And he comforts me, gives me what I need while I'm in there. Amen. And I love that psalm. The reason I love it, because while you're going through, the thing about it, he started talking about, he said, Lord, my shepherd, I shall not want it, making me to lie down in green pastures, leave me beside the still water, restore my soul. He does all of this, and this is the shepherd. But with the shepherd there, y'all don't hear this, he still has to go through the valley of the shadow of death. So he has to wait for him to lead him through the valley of the shadow of death. Come on and say amen. And so when we start looking at this, he's letting us know that there's going to come a time when the young men and everybody else, they're going to go through a hard time. He said, but we don't have nothing to worry about. Tell somebody, I ain't got nothing to worry about. It's going to be all right. It's going to work in my favor, because God is on my side. Better yet, I'm on God's side. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, all things work together for the good of them that love God and to the called according to his purpose. Now see, if it's not working for you, that means it may not have a purpose for you. Y'all didn't hear that. Look, friendships, relationships, kinships, whatever, it may not be a purpose for it if it ain't working for you. All right. See, you keep trying to make it work, and it ain't. Don't try to make it work. Let it work for his purpose. What glory does God get from it? Is it any glory in it? Oh, that's quietness right there. I like that, though. I like that. You listening. Is there any glory that God gets from it? So we have to wait and let this thing work for us. We have to wait and let whatever it is work for us. You know, and when we start talking about patience, now it's impossible for us to be patient and not have faith. Because that's what the text talks about. Talks about hope and hoping in God. Hoping in him that he's able to do what's necessary for our life. And look, he knows what we need. He knows how you in shambles. He knows that you've been faking it until you make it. You know, he knows that. He knows that you really ain't what you try to make everybody else think you are. And that's okay. He knows the real you. And he knows your patience is short. He knows your faith has been torn. He knows all of this. But he still has a remedy for it. Amen. Because he gets the glory from it. We got to have faith, right? And so he's talking to the people who have faith or belief or trust in God. He's talking to those people. And I want to ask, do I have those people with me today? Do we have faith? Do we believe? Do we trust God and take him at his word? He has promised some things. And the thing about it, I love about God, is that God don't have to plead with you to pray. Oh, I promise you I'll do it. No, all God has to do is say it, and it becomes a promise. You hear me? If I could just get him to say it, I know he'll do it. Oh, have mercy in here. See, we ain't talking to him enough to know what he said. So since we don't know what he said, we begging for stuff he already promised us. Please, sir, Jesus, if you will. It is his will that we prosper and be in good health, even as our soul prosper. How's your soul? How's your soul? Your mind, your will, your emotions. That's your soul. That's what a soul is. Mind, will, emotion. How's your soul? Are you an emotional wreck? Then that might be a problem there, because then you can't prosper. Is your mind in worryation? Well, that's a problem. Then you can't prosper. He said he wants us to prosper and be in good health as our what? Souls. So is your will broken? That you can't just, I just can't get up and do it. I know I need to, but my will is broken. So if your will is broken, then you can't prosper. Y'all don't hear this, do you? So that's God's intention for us to have a healthy soul. And when we have a healthy soul, then we can have faith in him and trust in him and know in our mind, in our heart, and our soul can react the way it's supposed to his promises that he said. Amen. Y'all still with me here? So Isaiah is talking, and he's getting instruction from God. God tells him to go speak. And then at the end of this chapter, he gets to this part, and I told you it wasn't going to be long, but I guess somebody needs to hear some of the stuff I said. He gives power to the faint. Now, there are some people who are at the point right now of fainting in some situation. Now, you may not say, I'm just going to give up. You might not say, I'm just going to, I'm through with life. No, but you're about to faint. You're at a point where you feel like, because people can faint, but you can bring them back from fainting. Amen. Sometimes we faint, and we just don't want to deal with the reality of life and things that's going on, but we can come back from that. Come on and say, tell somebody, I'm coming back from this. He gives power to the what? To the faint. And he's not talking about just any old person. He's talking about those who believe in him, who hope in him, who worship him, who waits on him. Amen? He gives power to the faint. Now when we start to look at the word in verse 29, the word power is koach. It means, basically, it's a chameleon. You get what I'm saying? You know what a chameleon is? Y'all scared of the little geckos or whatever they are. But a chameleon is similar to that. But it changes color. And that's what this defense mechanism is, that he changes color into whatever environment he's in. He blends in so that the predator won't be able to get him. Y'all hear me? I'm going somewhere. Y'all stay with me. I got to teach you this, and then I guess I have to, jump around for some of y'all to say something. But the thing about it is the word that means means a chameleon. It also means fruit, substance, wealth. It means this is how you get it. Amen. So he said that he give power. The word power, kelok, it means chameleon. And so in other words, when I'm going through a situation, it looks like it may have the best of me, but I begin to change in the situation. Y'all don't hear me? To where the enemy can't see that I'm weak or even a presence of weakness so that he can't destroy me. Amen. Hallelujah. In other words, if God doesn't change my condition, he conditions me for the change. Yes. Y'all hear that? So he conditions me, he fixes me to where I don't look like I'm a sore thumb. I don't look like I don't belong. He fixes me to where I look strong enough and I take up the scenery where the enemy can't identify my weaknesses. So he gives me what I need so I don't look weak. Lord, have mercy. I know you're worried about looking weak, but don't worry. He won't let you be weak. He said he gives power. He gives power to the faint. Right? He gives power to the faint. And you know, I told you the word power also, it's like chameleon, but it also means strength. It's a defense. It's a fruit. Right? He said he gives fruit. Now, when we start talking about what fruit do, I mean, think about this. If you're about to faint, if you have heat stress, one of the first things they tell you is eat some what? Some fruit. Get you a banana. It cools your system, right? We got nurses here, right? It helps your system to get better. So he's saying, look, at the point where you're about to faint, he gives you fruit. Now, what is God's fruit? His fruit is love. God extends his love to you when you're about to faint so you don't faint so that you can make it. That ain't enough. Okay. To the faint. To those that are exhausted. Are you fatigued because of what you're going through? Are you fatigued from the stuff that you've heard, that you've encountered? Are you just tired of what's happening in the city? Are you tired of what's happening on the job? To the people who are wore out, who are tired. Y'all don't hear this. I'm talk to me then. Are you weary because of the things that you see and encountered and you know that's going on? Are you weary? If you're weary, he said, I'm giving you power through love. Okay, all right. The Bible said, let me say it like this. The Bible says that he says to us that we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. If it had not been for his love, I wouldn't have strength enough to make it through what I'm going through. Now, you ought to be a witness if you've been through something and God's love was extended to you and gave you strength to make it. You were sick and God love healed you. You were down and God love lifted you. You were going through, but God love guided you through. I wish I had somebody. You didn't let the stuff go through you, but you went through the stuff preaching this house. You got to get to a place where you say, I'm so thankful that it was God. I know they tried to cut me down, but God brought me back up. It was his love that helped me through. He gave me strength. He gave power to the faint. I almost fainted. Almost was out of this thing. But if it had not been for the Lord on my side, if it had not been for him being the lifter of my head and the source of my strength, where would I be? Y'all don't hear me. His power. He gives us power. Power to the faint and to them that have no might, no strength. He increased or he extends his strength. Paul said that his strength is made perfect when we are. God allows you to weaken because you thought you were too strong on your own. So now you can lean and truly depend. Okay, Jacob. All right. This is the Holy Ghost now. The Bible says Jacob means trickster, supplanter, means that I'm a squatter. I take what don't belong to me most of the time. I know how to get my stuff if I want it. Jacob, I got pride enough. I know how to get stuff. I'm slick. I'm smart. I worked for my uncle for 20 years, and while I worked there, I knew how to breed animals, and I made sure that I breeded them so that I could have as many as he got. But they didn't belong, and I got them for nothing. All I had to do was work, and they belong to me now. I became rich, and I became great, and I even got the blessing from my brother because I tricked him. I got the blessing from my father because I tricked him. Jacob had pride in himself, but one night he wrestled with God. And he no longer had no pride because he had a limp. And later on in life, the Bible says that Jacob, leaning on his staff, still worshiped God. In other words, God will take your strength from you, but he still lets you worship him. See, and he still lets you have what's necessary for your life. See, you're too strong right now. Sometimes God will, he'll give you a limp so you can't run like you used to. Oh, you've been running. I'm running from the Lord. Okay, keep running. And your speed is going to slow down. You can't run from it. Oh, I wish I knew they was allowed to run. I would have ran too, but I wasn't allowed to run. He got me early. Look at this. He says he give power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases it. He increases strength. Now, when we talk about increasing strength, he's saying that you don't excel in your strength, but you excel in God's strength. Not by might, power, but by my spirit. And so when we start talking about what we can do, we can't do it on our own. We can't do it of ourselves. But the Bible tells us that we can do all things through Christ. That's my church right there. Come on. We can do all things through Christ that what? Strengthen. I don't have enough strength to make it through this. God, I need the spirit of Christ. I need the strength that I get from being in Christ. Somebody wondered how you got over. You got over through Jesus Christ. You got through it through him, because if it had not been for him, you would not have made it. There's some things that, look, you couldn't have gotten through that sickness without him. You couldn't have got through that hard time without him, because see, those things don't hurt him. And if I'm in him, it can't hurt. It can't destroy. All right. He said, let me get to verse 30. I've been long enough. Even the youths faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. He said, look at this. He says, the young people, the youth, they faint. They give up. They do a Marvin Gaye. Holler and throw up both their hands. They quit. The youth faint and are weary, worn out. Even the young people, and look around us, the young people worn out. I have not talked to so many young people that just want to give up on life. They just don't know what to do with life. They don't. It's like it's something that it's almost like reality hits them, and they just don't want to go on no more. They just want to stop. They don't know what to do. And we got to pay attention, because some of them are right around you. Some of them in your family. Some of them, you know, in your neighborhood. And you got to be able to talk to them and tell them, don't faint. And look at this. This, he said, the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. In other words, they are destroyed because of what's going on. The young men utterly fall. They are destroyed because of what's happening. The people who we look at that has the most strength physically, the ones that we look at that seem like they ought to be making it, they ought to run on. They ought to be running their race. Amen. We look at them and he said, they are going to fail. They are going to be destroyed. And he said, utterly. Utterly. That means to be cast down, to be worn out to the point of decaying, to fail, to stagger, to totter, to like a teeter-totter, to fall, to stumble. He said, that's what's going to happen to the young men. Young men. And this is people who don't, look at this, okay. But they that wait. I'm going to try to make you happy. Y'all looking at me funny. But they that wait. They that wait. These are people he's talking about that don't truly give themselves to God. He said the young ones are going to fail. The young ones are going to be destroyed. The young ones are going to faint because they don't know him. Y'all with me still? So he talks about the power, and he said they that what? Wait. Now, the word wait, kawa, in the Greek, in Hebrew, it means to bind together. It means a twisting together or to collect. And so what he's saying is that I'm going to make you stronger by binding together something. What's being bound together? I'm twisted and intertwined in the word. I'm twisted, intertwined in God. When I'm binded in him, I'm caught up with him. Paul said, I have not apprehended that which has apprehended me. See, I'm caught up in him. And when I'm twisted in him and I'm connected with him, when I'm connected to him, that means that I'm going to have strength enough to make it. Yeah. Y'all still with me? Yeah. He promised us. He said, they that what? Wait. they that wait upon the Lord. The ones who are waiting for God, the ones who are patiently waiting. Now, when I talk about patiently waiting, I'm not talking about patiently waiting with your arms crossed and sitting there. I always use this for an example. I don't really go no more, but I used to go to the mall with my wife, and I did not like to go. So I'd find me a seat, and I'd wait. And I'd think and say, well, I'm just patiently waiting, being the good husband, just patiently waiting. But I'm sitting there the whole time, won't she come on? Didn't you just go in that store a little while ago? Why are you going back? I'm thinking all of this. And that ain't patience. But I look like I am. And some of us have perfected looking like we're patient because we have no choice. You ain't got no choice, so you look like you are. But you're not really patient. Patiently waiting means that not to just sit there, but to wait like a waiter. To wait like a waitress. May I take your order? God, while I'm waiting on you to bless me, what can I do for you? Yeah. God, while I'm waiting on you to do something in my life, what can I do for you while I'm waiting for you to do that for me? Come on and say amen. Amen. You see, you got to understand that if you're a good waiter or waitress, you know you got to wait at the end to get your tip, but you got to serve good to get a good one. Yeah. I wish I had somebody. You see, you're already going to get paid, but what's your tip look like? I'm going to tell you what my tip looked like. When you start looking at what you got, when you start looking at all the things that God has blessed you with, that's your tip. He already said, I give you what you need, but I got to give you a tip too. Come on and say amen. He said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew. So God gives us, he gives us a promise that if we wait on him and serve him patiently, he says they shall renew. In other words, he's letting them know that we're going to prosper and we're going to progress in the way. God gives us dominion. Look at this. He says, shall renew. Now, the word renew is different. It's the word, it's the word kalaf, which means to make an exchange. It means to make an exchange. In other words, like taking off this jacket and putting on another jacket, I made an exchange because I wanted to get out of this jacket for some reason. And so when I go through my trials, for some reason, I need to get out of my weakness and get in some strength. And so I need to take off my weakness and I need to put on my strength. So how do I do that? The Bible tells us to put on Christ. Preach. The Bible tells us to put on the whole armor. Preach. So what is the whole armor? The whole armor is Christ. Why? Because Christ is my helmet of salvation because he's salvation. Christ is my breastplate of righteousness because ain't none right but him. Christ is my loins girded about with truth because he is the truth. He is the word of God. Come on and say amen. He is the gospel. My feet shod with the gospel of peace. Come on and say amen. You can't have peace without the gospel of Jesus Christ. Say amen in here. He said that the sword of the Spirit, which is the word. Who is the word? John said that in the beginning was the word. The word was with God and the word was God. He's telling us to put on Christ. Then he said, take our shield of faith. What is faith? Faith is the things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Come on and say amen. In other words, faith is Christ because even though I can't see him, I know he's here. Do I have anybody in the house that say, I know he's here. I can't see him, but I know he lives on the inside. Come on and shout amen in here. Amen. He tells us, he said that now this word, you gotta, oh Lord, this word here, kalaf, it means a renewal and exchange. You know what it also means? It means to strike through. It means to strike through. In other words, if you was writing something and on a paper that will become legal, if you want to omit it, you don't have to erase it. Just strike through it and write what you want. Now, see, there are some things that worked in our life that we say, man, I wish I could just strike through that. And you can strike.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Pimpty, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Pimpty, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be